The small town of Kendal on the mid-north coast of New South Wales has been in the national spotlight ever since toddler William Tyrrell disappeared from there 2 years ago. Hello, Kirsty Melville here. This is Earshot. And today we're going to Kendal, not to report on that tragedy, but to explore some of the creative activities that have helped keep the community afloat. Like many small towns across the country, the banks are leaving and it's losing many services, but it still has the Kendal National Violin Competition, where people travel from far and wide to hear four of Australia's top young musicians perform in the final. And producer Kerry Stewart, who grew up in the area, is there to talk to some of the musicians and to find out more about this resilient community.
The sweet voice of violins, mingling with the birds and the street sounds of this small country town, happen every year at this time. I'm sitting outside the School of Arts, where the finals of the Kendal National Violin Competition have been held for the last 17 years. As a girl, I learned classical ballet, and I remember coming here once to see a young performer dance on point, something I long to do. Exposure to the arts was a rare event when I was a child growing up near here. But over the last few decades, the communities in some regional towns, like this one, have made huge changes.
I've done tours out to the regional areas with ensembles and quartets. My name is Zoe Friesberg. I was also born in Gympie. I remember what it's like to, you know, be separated from the big city. And every time I've gone to a school out in a regional area, we've just been received so positively. For me, it's usually the concerts in which you have the most fun.
I feel that Australia could do a lot better to actually recognise the opportunity of regions, because one of the things in music particularly, it's an art form which thrives on very personal forms of contact.
My name is Götz Richter. I'm a violinist and associate professor of strings at the Sydney Conservatorium of Music. I've been involved with the Kendal competition ever since its inception. In fact, I was a founding member of the committee in 1999. If you put on a concert in a regional place, you might get 100 people, 150 people. Perfect size audience, really. Also acoustically for the types of instruments. Violin is not really an instrument that is made for a huge space. In Kendal, you have a hall that is not a 20th century hall, or maybe it is, but a very early one in that sense. It's a bit akin to what the great violinists were doing in the 19th century. People like Wieniawski or Paganini, they used to tour around, sometimes with their cash box in their violin case, and sit on the door to try to take the tickets. And a lot of that experience, of that engagement, direct engagement with the audience, that feedback you get, that whole interaction, that formed their entire approach to performance.
One concert out in Katanning, Western Australia. So some of the audience members don't know, like, the strictness or the rules, kind of sitting in a classical music concert. So they just receive you how they would any other form of music. So people were, you know, yes, yelling out at us, like encouraging us while we played. It was really funny. And after the concert, in every place, you're always received by the audience and they come up to you and say, thank you for coming. And it's really lovely.
When we perform, it's not all about us as performers, it's also about the audience, it's also about the people around us who are also playing, and remember that we have a responsibility to these people to show them what we can do and that it's not a self-serving process. And the more that I think about sharing my ideas, sharing my music with other people, strangely enough, the less nervous I get, because it's not about me anymore.
We're here for the Kendal National Violin Competition. How did that all begin in such a small town?
Over the years, the School of Arts has been well used for dances and concerts ever since it was constructed, and it's over 100 years old. My name's Mavis Barnes. I'm secretary of Kendal National Violin Competition, and I've lived in Kendal since 1981. My knowledge is in the 80s, and that's when there were community plays and performances to raise funds for the work that was done to restore the School of Arts, first of all. And that developed into the local Arts Council, which eventually started a Camden Haven Music Festival, which was hugely successful. And the music festival linked in a local luthier, Graham Caldersmith.
There's the ring of the wood.
Hello, Kerry. Lovely to see you in the workshop, because that's the place I spend most of my time and my passion. I was in Canberra for 30 years before I came up to the mid-north coast to Kendal. During that time, I started work as a aerophysicist, believe it or not, but embedded in that was the theory and the equations of acoustics. When I moved up from Canberra in 1996, I had begun making instruments in Australian tone woods. And when I got to Kendal, my friend Kerry Levy and her partner, Frank Rosbach, were engaged in running a music festival. And I said, well, look, why don't we have a little violin competition for the locals and I'll donate a violin made from Australian woods? And Kerry said, yeah, that I'll suggest that to Gertz Richter. And when Gertz heard about it, he said, no, we're going to make it a bit bigger than that. We're going to try and do a national competition. And that was a pretty big ask for a little country town to host a national competition in the violin, which is, you know, principal instrument in orchestras all around the world.
His big passion for Australian timbres, and again, one of those things of people say, it can't be done, and he did it. It's a very Australian thing to do. So we feel it sort of lends a special identity to the competition. It emphasizes that what this is about is creativity. I believe actually Australians are some of the most creative people they are, and most able to improvise and, you know, do things, because I guess the environment is quite harsh and naturally quite harsh.
Like many small regional towns, services here have been withdrawn by council and state government over the last couple of decades. But the community response and the effectiveness of their creative solutions have been extraordinary.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the finals of the 2016 Kendal National Violin Competition. We're going to hear four extraordinary young violinists. Please welcome our first performer for the day, Yebin Yu.
Kendal, you're billeted by a family, aren't you?
Yeah, wonderful. Doug and Diane is looking after me. They live a couple of minutes off the School of Arts on a little farm, and their house has such a great view. It was totally refreshing to wake up to that view in the morning and start practicing. I think when I'm older, I definitely want to come somewhere like this and enjoy and practice with amongst the nature.
When you're playing in nature, do you find it's very different?
Well, it's very different because sometimes music is an intricate representation of nature, and to be immersed in nature totally gives you a different atmosphere than, to say, a competition.
Well, thanks, Yebin, and best of luck.
Thank you.
You go well. As I wander down the streets following the heritage trail, I'm reminded that the town of Kendal was named after the bush poet Henry Kendal. He lived on the mid-north coast from 1875, when he took up the position of the first forest inspector for New South Wales. In his poem, The Song of the Shingle Splitters, he describes this place. All night long, we are lulled by the song of gales in the grand old trees. And in the breaks, we hear the lakes and the moan of the distant seas.
Henry Kendall himself was involved in the community as much as he was in his creation of poetry. He fought to retain the post office and the school. Kendall is, I believe, a very special place because of its people, its community.
Sadly, a lot of people would know the name Kendall because of what was in the news about little William Tyrrell, 3-year-old, taken from the front lawn of his grandmother's house. And that was 2 years ago now. Has that affected the community?
It has. Clearly, there's still a lot of concern. It's quite extraordinary because the little boy was only in Kendall for less than 1 day, and so nobody really knew him, but we knew his grandparents. And yes, that's still part of the community heart, but we've had to continue on with the other organisations and their programmes because community life goes on.
Hello, Gemma Lee.
What's your feeling about Jonathan Mui's piece, which is Rhapsody No. 2, which is a new composition commissioned for this competition?
Yeah, I think it's great. It's really fun to play. It was a bit tricky to learn, but yeah, once you get it, it's just a great lot of fun to play because it has all the different moods, like that happens so quickly, no transitions. Yeah, just have to be really on ball, I guess.
And bringing this sort of diversity to a country audience, we shouldn't assume that that you only take the classical tunes, mm-hmm. the best ofs, should we?
Yeah, no, that's why I think the Mui piece is great, because it combines elements of pieces that we know, like Yizai and Zigan, and he's done like his own take on it. So yeah, it's nice to see it all together.
We want to promote creativity of new music. We want to promote the ability of young people to engage with new music as well. So we developed a composition prize, and we were lucky. We received about 12 applicants, and we had a wonderful winner. In fact, it coincided with one of our alumni, Jonathan Mui, who wrote a great piece for the last year's finals. And of course, because we don't really have the funds every year available, so we determined that we would raise biannually the funds so that we build a body of work over the years, and we will commission a new piece for next year.
The swimming took place in the river, in river baths, and the council determined that that was unsafe, and so they closed the swimming baths. And the community was outraged. And at a couple of community meetings, it was decided that the community would organise together, and an op shop was suggested by one of the members, to raise funds to build their own swimming pool. The op shop raised over $300,000, and the committee had worked very hard to get grant funds from governments and other grant organisations, and it was several million dollars that was achieved in the end, and it was built. In the recent years, they've become a granting organisation themselves. The Op Shop Committee now issues over $120,000 every year. That is an example of the calibre and quality of organisations generally in Kendall across the board.
And Mavis Barnes didn't mention that Kendal has the biggest country tennis club in New South Wales, or that the community runs their own library and the showground, or that the community bank and medical centre building is designed by a local architect. So running a national violin competition is certainly not out of character for this group of movers and shakers.
Kyla Matsura Miller.
Just tell me about where you've come from fairly recently. You've been performing in other regions, haven't you?
Yes, that's right. I recently was a guest artist with Elysian Ensemble through ANAM with the Bendigo International Festival of Exploratory Music, which of course is in Bendigo. It seems that Kendal audiences are not only incredibly welcoming, but very receptive to any type of music that comes through.
And State Rail decided to close the railway station, which caused a huge amount of community concern, resulting in a very well attended, overflowing community meeting attended by politicians and the senior State Rail people, who reversed their decision. Kendal railway station has never closed. The service has actually increased over the time, and the building has been leased to another community organisation, Kendal Craft Co-op.
There comes a point when you can't really separate yourself, and shouldn't, from the instrument. Not in a material sense, but in the way you regard the instrument as a part of your body. And we felt that emphasizing the creators of instruments at the same time is quite an important thing to do. Giving opportunities for violin makers is very important. So also that musicians realize, hang on a minute, these people are trying to create things that I can use, that I can work with, and in that dialogue I can maybe develop myself as well. So why not establish this dialogue between instrument makers and young musicians?
When I started using the Australian tone woods, I realised that there were important differences, and I guess the most important difference that I had to contend with was the fact that King William Pine, which was the wood I eventually settled on, grows in Tasmania. I found that even though it had good vibrational character, it wasn't as stiff as spruce along the grain. So I had to think about what I wanted to do to keep the resonances about the same as they are in the traditional violin. So in order to do that, I had to change the shape of the top a little bit, and that is simply that I increased the curvature. So the tops of the Australian wood violins bulge more than the tops of normal violins, and that is the principal difference. When you start changing things like materials, you have to not only confront their acoustic differences, you also have to confront the preoccupation with tradition. So you're challenging tradition to some extent. People don't think it's a proper instrument if it's not made from proper stuff, which is quite a reasonable thing in a way.
What we want to do really in the long term, we would like to build a more fluid dialogue between instrument makers and performers, so that we can feature different instrument makers and give them an opportunity to connect with young musicians and vice versa. And this year, our prize-winning instrument is made by Michael Prokop, who is a violin maker now resident in Canberra, but has lived on the mid-north coast until very recently.
What does it mean to get this commission to build this wonderful violin for the competition?
Oh, it's definitely an opportunity to try something slightly different, and that I know that it will, in the end, go to the right owner, somebody who has the ability to play in some certain level, which will be matching where I would like to have my instruments. I would like to get my instruments to some certain level, like those guys who are performing today.
The top.
The top, yeah. That's right.
Zoe Friesberg.
I just came back from a regional tour of New South Wales that we finished today, and that was with the ACO Collective Orchestra. We've been playing in like Taree, Tamworth, Dubbo, Wagga Wagga, Albury, Griffith. It's been really great playing for people not in the cities, not in the main cities. Out here in regional Australia, I find that everyone loves a bit of Scunthorpe and Bach and Mozart and things. But for example, in this tour that we've just done, that was led by a Finnish string quartet. And they also brought over a piece from Finland by Jaakko Kosisto. So it had lots of cool effects, and yeah, audiences just loved it. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Now, a cool effect that we just heard while you were performing, and a car pulled out the side of the hall and started playing their music, which had a very heavy bass beat. I've just heard it just now, so I don't know if they're still there. That was interesting. So how did you cope with that?
Well, I thought it was fine, and I thought it was a bit funny that it kind of happened just as I was reaching like the Spanish kind of habanera section of the izai. So it didn't bother me at all. Like, that's just life. That's what happens. Yeah.
Certainly life in the country. There's the beat. Beep. Boom, 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 boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom. If I'd done the tempo a bit, maybe I should have matched it with the beat. That would have been funny.
Yeah, you could have done that.
But then the whole thing would have been too fast.
It's too fast. It's too fast. What a shame.
Yeah, if not, yeah.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Now, of course, comes the exciting part for us in some ways, although the day was fabulously exciting, I thought, and so wonderfully played. While our committee is getting the envelopes ready, because, you know, there's got to be money in there, I thought I'd invite Charles Stegemann to share a few thoughts with us.
So hello, I'm Charles Stegemann. I was one of the judges for the competition here today. I came here 2 years ago and I was just flabbergasted again by the level of the contestants here. It's really remarkable how strong they are. The level that's here is at the same level of any of the international conservatories. I mean, I attended Curtis and Juilliard, so I kind of know. And this level of playing would be heard in the halls there easily. And it's remarkable for Kendal, this delicious little town, to have this spectacularly high-level event occur.
And it's my great pleasure to announce the winner of the Sonata Award. This prize goes to Brisbane girl, Kyla Matsura Miller.
Our careers are meant to span for 40 to 50 years, you know, whereas an athlete retires after a decade or two decades. And it's very important to take good care of yourself, whether that's physically, mentally, or spiritually.
The prize for the best performance of Solo Bach is awarded to Gemma Lee.
So currently I am in my final year of undergraduate at the Con in Sydney, and next year I'm actually doing the fellowship program with the SSO, and I really hope to go overseas because I want to keep studying and do a master's probably somewhere in Germany, and then eventually I'd want to play in a good orchestra somewhere.
The prize for the best performance of an Australian work, in this case Jonathan Moore's Rhapsody No. 2, is awarded to Yebin Yu.
My dream has always been to be a soloist on an international platform, and I'd always dreamt of studying at Juilliard or the Curtis Institute of Music. But I also dream about being a wonderful teacher at a university or becoming a chamber orchestral musician.
And the Audience Choice Award, which is you people, is awarded to Kyla Matsura Miller. And as you know, the winner of the 2016 Kendall National Violin Competition is also receiving a special award worth $4,000. And the, of course, the beautiful instrument by Michael Prokop. And the winner of the 2016 Kendall National Violin Competition is Zoe Freisberg.
Ideally, I'd love, you know, to have a mix of everything, chamber music, orchestra, a little bit of solo and recitals or concertos. I also really have been enjoying teaching this year. I just want to grow as a musician, and I'll see if anything, you know, shines above the rest to choose.
And that's not the end for this little town. The next day, there was a concert featuring the winner, Zoe Freisberg, and a group of musicians from the Sydney Conservatorium called Live Music. Then they and Gertz Richter went to the local primary schools and the preschool to introduce the children to their instruments, classical music, and so much more.
Music has lost the centrality in the curriculum which it should have, which is very, very sad. That started primary school, preschool even, where students do not sing sufficiently. Singing and making music on a very fundamental level is very important as a first step towards sketching music, if you like, articulating music and developing things like expressivity and imagination. Primary school's children don't sing regularly, then there's an attention and a possibility lacking.
And wouldn't it be great in a decade or so if we see some local kids playing in their hometown as finalists for the competition?
What's your name?
Layla.
When the kids came up at the front and they had to identify the instruments, did you go up?
Yes.
Which one was the instrument that you identified?
Flute.
Flute. Do you play an instrument?
No.
Would you like to?
Yes.
Which one?
Violin.
Thanks, Adam.
That was former local girl producer Kerry Stewart reporting from Kendall. And all the music recordings and technical production today was by Andrei Shabanov. I'm Kirsty Melville. It's been great to have your company today. I'll catch you for the next episode of Earshot. See you then.